This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're exploring what Estonia offers as a travel destination right now with author Neil Taylor. He spent his career in the travel industry, and his work helped to pioneer tourism in Estonia after it gained independence from the Soviet Union back in around 1990. His books are Estonia, A Modern History, and The Brat Guide to Estonia. You mentioned earlier, Neil, alluding to the fact that a fifth of the population in Estonia is actually Russian. And this is a very serious issue because I've got a real problem with any political power that plants its own people in a conflicted zone in order to embed sort of that culture in a land where it does not belong. You know, a long time ago in Britain, the English planted Protestants in Ireland, and they're paying the price to this day. Israel is planting their people in Palestine, and they're going to pay a price for generations to come. And it saddens me that Russia, as a directive from Moscow, sent a lot of its people into Estonia. I think that was the preferred place for military people when they retired to live out their lives and bring their families. And consequently today, one out of five people in Estonia are not assimilating into the Estonian culture. It's been a couple of generations and they still speak Russian and not Estonian. And it's driving a wedge between that beautiful little country because of Moscow's, I think, evil intention of diluting that culture by having people come in and marry into that culture who were Russian and Slavic. And today it's a problem that persists. Did I get that right, this problem about planting people?
Well, I don't think you should put all the Russians together in that context. I think there are those who haven't moved on from communist times. As you say, they retired there on good pensions and just wanted no change in their lives at all. There are others who realise, particularly the younger ones, well, if I don't learn English, I'm going to get nowhere. Yes, I must learn Russian as well, because then I can compete in business, because I can go to Central Asia and in future, obviously not at the moment, to Russia and to Ukraine and so on. And I have that extra string to my bow. So one shouldn't talk about the Russian community just as one homogenous community. Very fortunately, from an Estonian point of view, it is divided in that respect.
Okay, so are there still the children and grandchildren of those initial planted Russians that are sort of firmly Russian, and then there are another part of that crowd that have said, I'm going to be a modern Estonian?
That's right. Yes, there are. There is that division. And it has to be a clear division. You can't be one or the other. You're either going to learn English properly, and except if you're wanting to travel outside Estonia, except to Russia and eastwards, you do need English. And, of course, you do need the political background that an Estonian education will give you.
I would imagine there was a time when public schools in Estonia taught Russian as the second language, and now they probably do not, but they teach English as a second
language. Right, yes. I mean, in the Estonians, the Russian-speaking areas, the schools are still teaching in Russian. They would like to change that, but that's going to take longer. And politically, it's tricky to sort of impose it where the children have had only Russian as a background. Suddenly, to teach an Estonian, you've got to do it gradually and then make sure that they have enough Estonian to be able to study maths or anything else in it. So this problem will go on for more years. But of course, dare I say, one positive aspect of the Ukrainian war is that there's ambivalence in the Russian-speaking community, that many of them would say, well, honestly, Estonia offers us a future and Russia doesn't at the moment.